We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it is kind of a yacht rock day for Oren Romain, the technical director of this show. We'll explain that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. It is a Friday.
Wait a minute, this was for a show. Believe it or not.
Greatest American Hero.
Wait a minute, dude, you know I tried to watch this. I tried to re-watch this the other night. Couldn't do it. That was a terrible series. It was terrible. Yeah, it was a great theme song, but it was just a terrible movie. You get a superhero book that dude put in the trunk of your car and you lose the instructions at the beach. Really? Who found the instructions? Like, seriously. Like, I really tried to watch that. And I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't believe I used to watch this when I was young. His friend got shot. The dude got shot. And the aliens picked him up right after he died. And they gave him a suit to give to the teacher. And say, hey, I'm just going to put it in the trunk. I'm just going to put the suit in the trunk. I don't even have the keys to the car. I'm an alien. I'm going to put the suit in the trunk. The instructions are in the trunk. And you lose it. Come on, man. Stop it. I couldn't do it.
Some of the headlines this morning include the Braves getting their second half of the season started tonight in San Diego. It is the opening game of a six-game road trip against the Padres with Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Atlanta United gets ready to head to Seattle on Sunday to face the Sounders, returning to MLS play. In a game that will be on Sports Radio 99, the game at 3:55 on Sunday. The news about Pity Martinez later in the hour. We'll get into this. Pity talking to the media in Argentina and saying some things that lead a lot of people to think maybe he's not super happy with Atlanta United right now, and he is going to address the Atlanta media today, as we understand it. And the major trade that is rocking the NBA, with Russell Westbrook going to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul, who may be on his way to Oklahoma City but may not even have to go there if he gets traded to somewhere else. So all of that is going on, some of the headlines this morning, in and around the start of football. 6 weeks from tomorrow, the very first college football game of the year, 6 weeks from tomorrow in Orlando to kick off the Division I season. All right, if all you guys and, you know, like Reinhardt or Point or anybody else is playing earlier, well, I guess Point's opening against Kennesaw. But if you're playing earlier than August 24th, pardon me, I'm talking about Division I football here, okay, the big guys, Florida and Miami in Orlando to start the Division I season on August 24th this year, and we are 6 weeks away from that tomorrow. As we get ready, a former Florida star, Chris Doering, who works for, I didn't even ask you guys, was this off the SEC Network? Oh, he was on Sirius XM? I know that Doering does stuff for SEC Network too. This was on Sirius XM. And Chris Doering talking about Georgia. Now, here's a former Florida star, you know, played on that, team that played in the national title game, Chris Doering, with Danny Werfel. The Florida fans don't so much want to remember that game. Nebraska fans do. Florida fans don't. But Chris Doering, and what did he have to say about Georgia this year? You ready for this, Georgia fans? All right, here's the former Florida star, Chris Doering, talking about the Georgia Dogs.
DeAndre Swift is going to win the Heisman Trophy for a myriad of reasons. First of all, he's playing behind the best offensive line in the conference, maybe the best in the country. So we know he's going to have an opportunity to get a great push up front and open some holes for him. He's been a dynamic player that's not only a powerful back, but can get vertical and outrun second-level defenders. So he's got a chance to break off some long runs. But where has he been maybe the most useful in terms of his versatility? It's in the passing game as a guy that's able to flex out and play in the slot. They've motioned him out of the backfield. In his first season as a freshman 2 years ago, he was their third down running back because of his ability to catch the ball. And the one thing we've heard a lot about what James Coley wants to do with this offense and taking it a little bit in a different direction from where Jim Chaney had it was having those guys out of the backfield catch more passes. So I think you're going to see DeAndre Swift put up big numbers in the rushing game. and it's going to be complemented by what he's able to do catching the football out of the backfield.
That's Chris Doering saying he thinks the DeAndre Swift is going to win the Heisman, Hugh.
I think he's behind that offensive line. I mean, he can do it. I mean, he burst onto the scene for Georgia, and he was a breath of fresh air. So, I don't think that's that far-fetched. I really don't. I think that could basically happen.
Well, the one thing is that with running backs winning the Heisman, and you have Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin this year and other running backs, is that you have to put up stupid numbers because the Heisman so favors quarterbacks. I mean, you have to put up over 2,000 yards. You've got to have, I mean, just silly numbers. I mean, ping pong numbers to be considered for the Heisman as a running back. And the only reason I'd probably go, is that Georgia has so much depth at running back that you've got to get playing time and snaps and touches for Brian Herrien, for, you know, James Cook, for even Zamir White, for Zeus, if he's healthy and 100%, and certainly we're hearing that, you know, he might be on track, is that you have to give it, – it's the good and bad of Georgia and running backs. The good is that you have this incredible depth, you, maybe more so than any other school. Georgia has been running back you, right?
Yeah, for a while.
And so with that incredible depth, you can't not play or use the weapons that you have, which will – it's not like he's going to be a – it seems to me the guys that win the Heisman as a running back get 90% of the load or more. And I don't know that Swift will get that.
I think he's going to get opportunities, and it's all about taking full advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. And I think that they're going to be there, especially early in the season when you talk about this receiving corps getting up to speed. So, you know, you talk about that offensive line – the stable of running backs that you have, there's going to be some opportunities there. It's almost going to be like every time that Swift touches the ball, DeAndre Swift, that he's probably going to have to be a home run hitter in order to be a consideration.
If Chris Doering is right and DeAndre Swift does win the Heisman, that means he has had the kind of monster season that were I a Georgia fan, I would be booking my tickets to the national championship game because that's the kind of year – he's going – if he has that kind of year – I'm not saying that's the key to Georgia because, frankly, it's really not. I mean, the key to Georgia getting into the national championship, to me, is going to be having Tyler Clark and having, you know, the youngsters like Nolan Smith and Adam Anderson and those guys and linebackers. It's your defense, right? It's going to have to be Monty Rice. It's going to have to be your defense that really plays well in those moments that you need because the offense is going to do – even with Holloman not a wide receiver, the offense is going to score a ton of points. That offense is going to score a lot, Hugh.
Yeah, that's what I think a lot of people are counting on, John. I mean, but it still would be nice, you know, especially when you look at how much that Georgia wanted to throw the ball to become a balanced team is if they get the speed up to speed, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as possible. Because you don't want to become one-dimensional, especially not this. You can't be one-dimensional, so the receivers are going to have to do their work. They got to have their work cut out for them.
And I know this is going to be kind of a raw receiving core, but, I mean, you have guys out there that are going to be – watch how impactful the freshmen like Dominic Blaylock and Tung and those kind of guys are going to be on this team. So it's not just about whether Demetrius Robinson can actually live up to all the hype, the five-star hype that he had coming out of high school, or Tyler Simmons can really take a next-level jump for them. It's going to be, you know, kind of receiver by committee at least to begin the season. I think you're going to see just how good this receiving core can be. But with that offensive line, Jake Fromm's going to get plenty of time to throw. He's not going to really be hassled much at all.
That's what you hope for. That's definitely what you hope for. And I think you're going to see a little bit of what this offense could be in the first couple of games. I just want to get that the running game I think is going to be there. It's the passing game that I think that probably is going to be a little bit off. The timing and everything is going to be probably a little bit off in those first couple of games.
Yeah, so Chris Doering out there talking about DeAndre Swift being a Heisman contender. And in a year where you're going to have – I think here's the other thing about the Heisman this year. Look, I have to admit, and I've been saying this for a long time, I'm not really a big guy in the Heisman. It goes to the best offensive player on the best team kind of thing. But when you're looking at Trevor Lawrence and you know, the hype around him, and rightfully so, and you're looking at Tua Tagovailoa and what Tua's got around him at Alabama because he's going to have a receiving core. Tua's receiving – while George is playing with freshmen and nobody out there, Tua's playing with, on paper, possibly the best returning receiving core in the history of college football. I'm not kidding you. It may be the best returning receiving core in the history of college football. When you're talking about the guys they have coming back. I mean, they just have – they were all top-flight draft picks last year had they been in the draft. I mean, they are going to be NFL stars. Jerry Jeudy's going to be an NFL star. He's going to follow in the line of Julio Jones and Amari Cooper and Calvin Ridley and Jerry Jeudy. And he, there some people think that Ruggs is going to be a better player than him. So, I mean, it's just silly how what he has at his disposal. That's why we were talking about being favored in every game with Brett McMurphy yesterday, about him saying the thing about Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia is they're going to be favored in every game.
Yeah, they got a pretty favorable schedule until they actually meet each other, and that'll probably be during, you know, the college football playoffs. You know, and for Georgia and Alabama, SEC championship game. So, yeah, it's one of those things where every game that you go into, there's not going to be too much of resistance that you're going to have to deal with.
Well, you know, and it seems like every year Georgia has that stub your toe kind of game, where they're a little flat for whatever reason. And that's just, I don't know, it's just kind of the way it is, and Georgia fans know what I'm talking about. And you can have that flat game and get away with it if you do it at the right time against the right team. You know, you're playing Missouri and you're a little flat and you get away with it. What you can't do is have the flat game against a team like Auburn or Florida where it costs you, you know, or for that matter, in not too recent past history here, Georgia Tech. I mean, you can't have that flat game at the wrong time. Georgia opens with a conference game against Vanderbilt where they're going to be heavily favored to win that game on August 31st, and they're going to go into Nashville and take care of their business, Hugh. I have no doubt of that. They're going to go out there and make an early statement, and then they're going to have, I think, a great start to the year with Notre Dame coming in. I think by the end of the first month, by the end of September, Georgia is going to be in a position where they're going to be those three teams are going to separate themselves fairly quickly, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so as well, John. I mean, it's not going to be that hard to do. I think when you look at the schedules that we talked about that earlier, you look at the way the schedules are shaping up for them, that they're going to be in great position going into the second half of the season and starting out the season. Vanderbilt, like you said, they're dealing with a quarterback. They're dealing with a quarterback change there. So they're not going to – I don't think they're going to be up to snuff, and they're still going to be dealing with, you know, trying to get their new young quarterback acclimated to what they're trying to do there.
Right, and Vanderbilt's wondering about their football program. They're trying to upgrade their stadium. They want to compete at Vanderbilt because, look, if Vanderbilt's had some nice moments over the last few years. It was for a long time that Vanderbilt was the worst team right there with Northwestern and just a total debacle of a college football program. But that's not the case anymore. I mean, in this day and age, you see teams like, you know, Vanderbilt being able to compete. Northwestern won the Big Ten West again last year. I mean, so these, you know, smaller private schools can actually compete with the big universities, at least, you know, in a starting 22 situation. And so, but I don't think Vanderbilt this year, you're right. They're kind of retooling and they're going up against a Georgia team that might be
Pat Shermer's gone. Mm-hmm. He's gone.
Kyle Shermer.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
And so, no, it's going to be interesting for Georgia. Can DeAndre Swift actually win the Heisman? I mean, does it really matter that much? I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, I mean, Fromm and Swift are going to be up for the Heisman. Do you really care about winning the Heisman that much?
I think they want to win a national title.
Yeah.
I think they want to win a national title. First things first, though, win the SEC. Win the SEC championship, and then you want to win the title. I think that's what they want.
Right. I mean, you got to kind of take it in order. And again, you're up against, you know, all these other big names that are going to have a real lead on you. In terms of, you know, it'll be interesting to see, again, when we talk about the Heisman, what kind of numbers, because Justin Fields is going to put up pinball numbers. All right. Understand, with Ohio State's opening to the season, they play like Cincinnati and Miami of Ohio, and I forget who all in the first month of the year, but they play – nobody that could play with them in the first month of the year, which means Justin Fields is going to put up pinball. I mean, he's going to put up 25 touchdowns in four games or
something. It all depends on if the rumors are or aren't true about him, John. He might put up more yards rushing than actually throwing the football. I mean, because that's one of the things that you kind of hear about Justin Fields, and one of the reasons why it took him a little while to get on the field here, or the reason why he didn't get on the field here was because he had trouble reading the defenses. So now you're going into that season with Ohio State. Yeah, you're playing against lesser competition, but does that mean he's going to throw the ball? Or is he going to try to win it with his legs? So you have to wait and see how it's going to play out there. The thing about potentially being what they say that he is, you always go to what you know first, mm-hmm. especially if you don't recognize what's being shown you as far as the coverages being disguised and things of that nature. Most quarterbacks that are run first, and I'm not saying that this is him, you know, altogether, but there is some rumors out there that say that he is a kind of a run first guy. He might pull it down and just run all around the place. He might do that. And that might put Ohio State in a little bit of an awkward position when he do play teams that are playing pretty good defense that he can't recognize and can play the run well if it's going to put them in a bind or not. It all depends on his maturation as, at the quarterback spot, being at Ohio State, not knowing that he's the guy.
Well, it'll be, from a Heisman standpoint, to go to Chris Doering's original point about DeAndre Swift and the number, and I have no doubt that if he stays healthy, DeAndre Swift is going to put up very big numbers this year. But again, how much of the load does he have to split with Harry and James Cook? I mean, George has got so many guys that can play, and aren't you anxious to see Zeus if he can get into a game and what he can do? Of course you are, if you're a Georgia fan.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy. And then I think from a Heisman standpoint that Jake Fromm actually stands probably a better chance. Because for all of the people who look down, and again, I always want to be transparent, I'm not a Georgia fan, but for all the people that kind of look down their nose at Jake Fromm, I keep thinking, how many quarterbacks in the history of college football have run 2 5-star quarterbacks off campus in their career, like Fromm did with Eason and with Justin Fields? I think he's the only one that's ever done that. Says something about
him.
Stuck
in the middle with you. So this is Yacht Rock as well? I never knew that.
Yes, yeah, Steelers wheel. Jerry Rafferty before he went solo. Hey, we got a question for you on this Friday morning. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, they're yakking at each other. Conor wants another crack at him. And we were talking about this yesterday. It's a question for you at 404-741-0929. Would you pay a pay-per-view for their rematch? And if so, why? Or if so, if not, why not? What Floyd had to say about the rematch. I'm curious. That's next after a CBS Sports Minute. Headed towards the weekend on Sports Radio 910 The Game from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. A reminder that 10 to 2, Andy and Randy live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Andy Randy.
And then 2 to 7, Dukes and Bell. So from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., if you're in the area of Peachtree and Piedmont, over by the disco, old disco Kroger there, you can pop into Twin Peaks from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and see Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks.
Randy.
So Conor McGregor, is in order to be relevant, is trying to get a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. All right, and Floyd is out there. Conor's out there saying, "I want the rematch, buddy. I know what I can do now. I know how to beat him." Because remember, nobody gave Conor, not even me. Now Floyd did win the opening match, but nobody gave him a chance of even surviving, and he actually survived in that match. Now, how much Floyd pulled his punches to have him survive, I don't know. But Conor wants not only to be relevant, he wants the cash. Because do you know how much money they made? Do you out there know how much money Floyd actually made? Do you remember? Floyd made $275 million
Conor had a nice little payday. I mean, he did well for himself. And, you know, he went out there and he did a lot better than people gave him credit for. He really did. But I don't think there was ever a time where anybody thought that Floyd was going to lose the fight. And people were mad because Floyd went out there and fought like he fought every other fight that I've ever seen him in. He's a real strategic fighter. He's not going to take a whole lot of punches. He's more of a counterpuncher. So it was one of those things where people were mad because they thought because it was MMA that Conor McGregor was going to go in there and do his MMA thing. No, it's different with boxing. It's a lot different.
So McGregor says he thinks he can beat Floyd the second time around. And certainly he wants to get, Conor made $85 million, and Conor's thinking he's going to make even more than that. And that would require you to buy the pay-per-view. And I want to know at 404-741-0929, would you buy the pay-per-view for McGregor and Mayweather too? Figuring it's probably, what, $99 or something? Anyway, TMZ caught up to Floyd and said, "Hey, Floyd, Conor wants to fight you again. Are you interested? Are you going to have a rematch?" And this is what Floyd said.
You know, Conor's manager came out saying he wants a rematch. Is that something you would you consider a champ? Would you consider a rematch?
Boy, these kids are some circus clowns. You know, they can't with money, man. You know what it is, like I said before. The same lifestyle that I had when I was fighting is the same lifestyle that I got now. You know, they try to defeat me any kind of way. On the basketball court when it's not for the money. They try to lock me up. They try to say, they're going to keep coming my way. At the end of the day, I keep laughing, I keep living, I keep going to the bank.
Champ, is there a number, though, that will get you with McGregor? Something to get you back in that Forbes top 10? Is there a number we can make that fight happen?
This year, This year alone, I ain't got to be in the Forbes. Just because I don't talk about my investments, it's obvious I'm doing something right if I'm still living the same life. So I don't got to talk about my investments. I ain't got to go tell the people what I'm doing, what I invested in. Just know that I'm here to stay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that sounds like? And y'all got to follow me with this. Floyd just had his ankles broke on the court. Who was that broke his ankles? Was it Hot Sauce? The Bone Collector broke his ankles. This sounds, if I'm not mistaken, this sounds like an interview that was done probably after that, because he's talking about something that happened to him, and they're looking for something to talk about. This sounds to me like this was, hey, Conor McGregor's talking trash. What do you think about that? And then he went into this diatribe with, like, they tried to do me on the court. They tried to do this. He's just talking. Nothing in there sounded like anything about him wanting to fight Conor McGregor again or anything like that to me. It's just a conversation that he's trying to say, hey, listen, I've had an embarrassing moment, but I'm still making money. I mean, that's what I got from it.
$300 million might change his mind. $300 million.
That's what they're talking about for this one?
Yeah, potentially.
You know what? I mean, to go beat somebody up for $300 million, I mean, I think that's hard to turn down, but who's going to pay that? I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to pay to watch that happen again.
Well, let's ask. Austin in Atlanta, you're on with John and Hugh. Would you pay to watch McGregor Mayweather 2? Hey, Austin.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, fellas?
Good, man.
All right. So, yeah, I would pay. As a lover of the sport of boxing, I would definitely watch them fight again. Only because I know for a fact that Floyd is going to defeat Conor McGregor, and he might whoop him quicker than he did last time.
So you would pay $99. Would that be what it is, or would he be?
I don't
more?
Know what the pay per view would be, but I mean, just to see something that we kind of know that, like you said, that's going to happen. No, I'm not paying for that.
Did you watch the first one, Austin?
Yes, I did. I definitely watched the first one. I actually watched the entire fight card, so that's why I would pay the whole $99.
All right. Well, Austin votes one yes here. 404-741-0929. Thanks, Austin. Demetrius in Atlanta. You're on with John and Hugh. Demetrius, would you pay? Let's presume it's the same amount of money. Would you pay $99 to watch Mayweather McGregor 2?
Yeah, I would. And the simple reason is it's just like growing up, I never went to a Michael Jackson concert. So Michael Jackson was awesome. I'm looking at all the videos. He was awesome. If I had a chance, I would have went. Now, that's just like Mayweather. I never saw him fought before, you know, in person, or maybe watch a couple fights. So now I would go back. I would go back and watch it and look at this guy because he's amazing. Yeah, I would pay it.
All right. So Demetrius votes he would pay it. Anthony's in Dunwoody. Anthony, would you pay that $99 to watch Mayweather McGregor too?
Yeah, I probably would pay. I probably would pay, but I would rather see him fight someone else first.
Why would you? Well, let's presume that, I mean, at his age, he doesn't want to fight anymore. Period. Do you think that? Let me ask you this. Here's the other question, Anthony. Do you think Mayweather will actually do it, despite saying that they're just a bunch of circus clowns talking about this?
No, I don't think Mayweather would. He has nothing else to prove.
He had nothing else to prove. All right, so we're getting so many people saying yes here. They would pay for this.
I'm surprised. I really am. I would not pay, like, because I remember the last time that these two guys fought, a lot of people were complaining about the way that the fight went, and it wasn't action-packed, or it wasn't what they wanted it to be. So I'm kind of surprised, but hey, I was wrong. No question about that. I was wrong about this one. To have people call in and say that they would want to see it, I find that pretty interesting. But on the flip side of that, from what Floyd said, it didn't really sound to me like there was a definite, you know, this would go down. But I guess, like you said, for $300 million, anything is possible.
Well, and at his age, was he 42 now, I think? Right? I think he's 42. Can you look that up, Oren? Rodney in Atlanta. Rodney, would you pay to watch Floyd fight Conor McGregor again?
I definitely would not pay. I saw the first one, and, you know, in honor of Master P's movie, I got the hookup for that one. Glad I did not pay, but I would not pay to see that.
All right, so there's one in your favor here. Rodney says no.
It's not. I mean, I don't look at it as a competition. It's just the opinion that who would go watch it. I'm surprised that many people would watch it to as much – As some people have complained about boxing and how it's the lack of, you know, excitement that's in it, I'm surprised that you would go watch a fighter like Floyd Mayweather fight a guy like Conor McGregor, kind of knowing how it's going
to
play out.
What does it say, though? And it's just, so, to me, in a way, it's kind of not sad, but it really says to the state of boxing, the sport that I grew up loving, that this is the match that gets everybody excited. I mean, to me, you've got a champion out there who is lights out. I mean, you know, and he doesn't get, you know, any attention. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, they get all the, they get the $275 million payday. It's not the guys that are at the top of the, at the top of it now. It's,
I think
the old
that
guys.
You have to look at all the underlying storylines that went along with that fight the first time. Conor McGregor, being the brash individual that he is, took MMA by storm and was knocking people out and doing his thing. Floyd Mayweather, for lack, whether you like him or not, a lot of people felt he was a polarizing figure, especially coming off of some of the things that we heard about him. You know, I know there was some beef with him and T.I., the fact that there was some speculation of whether or not, you know, there was some domestic violence in his life, and just some of the things that he said in the past. Mm-hmm. And this also is on the heels of some of the things that Ronda Rousey said and the way that he kind of, you know, kind of poo-poo MMA. That's where I think that a lot of people were excited about seeing this, because they wanted to see Floyd Mayweather get beat up. It didn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that at all. It was nowhere near like that. And they thought that Conor McGregor was going to be the guy to do that. And so that's why I thought that with this second go-around with that, you know, you don't have all the pop and pageantry that you had the first time. There was even, like, talk about when they were going around doing this world tour about, you know, having this thing where they're in each other's face and they're talking this, that, and the third. A lot of people didn't like that. That's why I'm kind of surprised that people would still want to see that, because it was a circus the first time. And you could tell the first time that it was not so much about, you know, them not liking each other. It was just about the drama that they were trying to build as much drama as they possibly could to get as much money as they possibly can.
All right, John in Decatur, would you pay to see this fight, John?
Big Q, you're absolutely right. These folk tripping. Been there, done that. And if you wait till the next day, somebody going to post it on YouTube. It's going to be on Instagram. You'll be able to watch the whole fight for free. I'm not paying $100 to see something they've already done before. And then it's a circus. It's the WWE. These guys talk. They, like you say, they travel together and acting like they hate each other. Come on. The people don't get played twice.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that this whole circus clown thing, I think they're going to have another fight. I think that's why they're talking right now.
Would you pay to go see it? Would you pay for it?
No.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would, John. You'd pay for it. Because you want to see that.
But poor Deontay Wilder. All he does is knock everybody out. Unbeaten. Heavyweight champion. And nobody pays
him no mind.
He's
trying to be as flamboyant as he possibly can.
I know he's trying. He's doing his best. You say the name Deontay Wilder, a lot of fans go, who? It's like, well, poor guy. It's a Friday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Download the Radio.com app and take us with you wherever you go.
Just go! Catch up on the latest Atlanta sports, no matter where you are. If Atlanta sports matter to you,
get the Radio.com app and never miss a thing.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, peeking around the corner into the 9 o'clock hour. And the yacht rock kind of day for Oren Romain, Carlos Bocanegra, to talk a little bit about Petey Martinez and where we stand with this little, I think it's a little dust up, but it's nonetheless something we have to pay attention to with Petey's interview yesterday where he wasn't too happy. We'll get into that in the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking about, you know, Conor McGregor wants to stay relevant. I don't know that he'll ever fight MMA again. But this is how McGregor's record in 2018, last year, in 2018, was 0-1, right? He was still one of the 100 highest paid entertainers in the entire world, despite being 0-1. So, I mean, I don't know how where else does Conor McGregor go to make this kind of money? He doesn't. There's nowhere else for him to go except to go to a rematch with Floyd.
Or he can go back to MMA, because he was one of the highest paid fighters in MMA for a time. So maybe he can do that.
Not $85 million for one match.
You're not going to make that, John, unless you go back into the ring with Floyd Mayweather. But he still made a comfortable living in MMA. It's nothing he's going to do that's going to make him $85 million unless he tries to go fight Floyd again. But Floyd has to agree to that. But you can go back and you can still make a comfortable living.
Now Floyd laughed at it, called them circus clowns. But I think these two are yakking at each other again, and I think Conor came out and started yakking and said he wants a rematch, and Floyd is yakking on that TMZ video, calling him a circus clowns and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let me pull this back a little bit. Where in that video did you hear him call Conor McGregor a circus clown? He said these circus clowns, and he talked about, he was talking in generalities, to be totally honest. He didn't say anything directly about Conor McGregor.
No, but my point is, I think they're talking about this because I think they're starting to set the stage. I think that this is the beginning of the talk about. I think they're trying to at least gauge the pulse. You know, would people want to watch a rematch?
Okay, John. But in that interview, where did he mention Conor McGregor's name? I don't recall him saying his name. He talked about people trying to take advantage of him on the court. He talked about his lifestyle and how it hasn't changed. And he talked about this is what these clowns do. That to me screams more so he was just talking about people trying to knock him off his perch. And he's not. And he even went to talk about his business investments. Only person I heard say something about rematch was Conor McGregor, to be totally honest.
Frank and McDonough, you're on with John and Hugh. Would you pay to see a rematch between Mayweather and McDonough? Mayweather and McGregor?
No, I mean, I haven't paid before. But at the same time, I guess there's nothing really out there to pay for. I mean, even the Triple G fight, I heard kind of sucks. So it's kind of like there's nothing really out there for boxing. So Floyd Mayweather is always a draw. People going to call him out just for the money aspect, and I don't blame them. I don't blame Floyd Mayweather for capitalizing. If people are going to pay for it, I'm not going to be one of them. I mean, I only pay for WWE events. You know, I just watch them on my boy's house by streaming, so that's just the new age now.
Smart man. Save well, that money.
This has got some WWE overtones to it in the sense that it is a made-for-TV event and not it's not a sanctioned event. It's not a real boxing event. Does it even count for Floyd's career record? I can't. Did it? I have no idea. That's a good question. Did it count? I guess.
I think he counts it as a fight. I mean, it technically is a fight. Somebody just said they're Floyd's a punk because he for years has refused to go into the octagon. Why would he go into the octagon? I mean, why? Like, kind of decided to play in his playground. That's just like me going out there saying I'm gonna get out on the court. Like I try to do it and go up against Hot Sauce and let him break my ankles. No, not about to do all that. No.
Chico in Woodstock, would you pay Chico to see the second Mayweather-McGregor?
Nah. You know what, man? I won't do it. I didn't see the first one. I had to work that night. I saw when I got off, I saw bits and pieces of it, but I wouldn't pay for it, man. I think a lot of people paid hoping that Floyd Mayweather would get beat down, man, take a beat down, man. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, Floyd is too smart of a fighter. But, no, I don't. I wouldn't pay to see it.
All right, there's another that they wouldn't pay to see it. And I think that's what's going on here. I think that these two are – this is just a guess on my part, but why else would they be talking about this unless there's somebody out there going, hey, what if we start talking about it and see what kind of traction we get?
John, again, go on. Could you, like, pull that cut up again? Because I don't hear them saying that they're going to fight. I hear a question being asked.
Yeah, you ask it, and they started laughing.
And Floyd started talking about something that didn't have anything to do with him fighting Conor McGregor. Right. That's what I heard.
They were laughing, going, no, basically, not this rematch ain't going to happen. That's okay. What I took away from the laughter.
I took away from it. He wanted to talk about everything else but that. He called him a clown. He did call, if you want to say he called him a clown, these clowns. He's talking about all these clowns. He was talking about the bone collector as well. He was talking about anybody that is trying to make him look bad. And he talked about his lifestyle. It was more, I think that was more about Floyd Mayweather than anything. You got that? There, Mr. Signal Man.
You know, Conor's manager came out saying he wants a rematch. Is that something you would you consider a champ? Would you consider a rematch?
Boy, these kids are some circus clowns. You know, they can't f*** with money, man. You know what it is, like I said before. The same lifestyle that I had when I was fighting, it's the same lifestyle that I got now. You know, they try to defeat me any kind of way. On the basketball court when it's not for the money. They try to lock me up. They try to say, they're going to keep coming my way. At the end of the day, I keep laughing, I keep living, I keep going to the bank.
Champ, is there a number, though, that will get you with McGregor? Something to get you back in that Forbes top 10? Is there a number
I mean, this year alone, I ain't got to be in the Forbes. Just because I don't talk about my investments, it's obvious I'm doing something right if I'm still living the same life. So I don't got to talk about my investments. I ain't got to go tell the people what I'm doing, what I invested in. Just know that I'm here to stay.
I didn't hear anything about a fight in that one. That's
yes,
all I'm saying.
And what I heard was, no, I'm not going to. It's not worth the money. There's no amount of money you could throw at me. These guys are circus clowns for even suggesting the idea. I mean, I guess I got a kind of a, you know, a roundabout no out of that. So that was my take.
I got him talking about everything else, but with the question that was asked him. That's what I heard. I heard him talk about everything that didn't have nothing to do with what the question was. Even when he started talking about the money amount and he started talking about his investments and being in Forbes and all this other stuff. I didn't catch any of that. I think this is something where, you know, if there is some discussion, it could potentially heat up, but I didn't get any of that from that exchange that Floyd had with TMZ.
Keith Southside, Keith, would you pay to see Mayweather McGregor too?
Yes, I would. I'll qualify this. I wouldn't pay $100, but I would go and pay like $20-$25 at a sports bar to see it, because I want to see the drama. I want to see the spectacle. I saw Conor McGregor put on the suit with the little special stitching in it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Subliminal message. I want to see a circus. I want to see a train wreck. We went to the fight. I mean, it was packed. It was fun. It was an event. And who knows? Conor McGregor might spring up and throw a lucky left and knock him out. Then we can have a third one and talk about this again.
Oh, man. Don't talk about a third. Oh, my God. So boxing has gotten to this point where poor and this is my point. Deontay Wilder is knocking everybody out. Man's never lost in, I don't know, 40-some-odd fights. He's
throwing it from the shoulders, too.
Man,
Deontay Wilder's trying to take your head off.
He can't get any traction in terms of, but Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, a couple of guys who are probably almost 80 years old combined, who want to have an exhibition again, they get all the attention.
Yeah, but I think it's another thing, John. It's like heavyweights aren't, they're not viewed as being like exciting boxers anymore. It's a little bit of that as well. Everybody like them little dude boxers.
Well, it's a kind of a yacht rock day for Oren Romain. We celebrate his chosen form of music, and we'll do that after the top of the hour. His favorite form of music on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.